church leaders about social media.
I am your host, DJ Chuang, and today is episode number 34, where I visit with a couple of my older friends. So this episode will have two guests on. One is Dave England, who has been blogging for a number of years at DaveEngland.com. It just got a reboot, and he's found a renewed voice and energy to be blogging again. I first met him online through his blog, and also his couple of years in Sacramento as a church planter. So we'll revisit those years in my conversations with Dave. And also, I wanted to check in with an old friend of mine from almost 20 years ago when I was in seminary with him at Dallas Theological Seminary. He now lives about 5 minutes away from me here in South Orange County, California. His name is Brent Wong. Let me start with Brent Wong because it's just a few minutes, and then we'll switch over to my longer conversation with Dave England. So I check in with my old friend Brent Wong, who happens to be a groomsman in my wedding party back in April of 1995. And we were together in seminary back in 1991, so this is pre-internet days. And since that time, a lot has happened in the online and technology world. And recently, he has gotten a new sense of energy around using social media. So he is a staff worker with Campus Crusade for Christ, which is now just called CRU. And he's with a division called Epic Movement, which is the Asian American ministry for CRU. And he recently launched a Facebook page, and he's been using Twitter. And so I just wanted to check in with him about why he is now interested all of a sudden in using social media, even though it's been around for a few years. So here's my conversation with my good, dear friend, Brent Wong. DJ Chuang here. I'm with my good friend, Brent Wong. We're just having a conversation about social media. And so you've been inspired about the power of social media recently. What changed for
right.
you?
Right. Well, I think, you know, DJ, we were sitting in that one coffee shop. You know, he just like, oh, let's videotape you. So I was just talking. The sound was bad. It was like noisy in the coffee shop. We're just talking. DJ throws it up on YouTube. Next thing you know, it's like 900 hits. And I'm like thinking, we didn't even do anything. You know, it took us like a few minutes.
But you're so charismatic.
you're funny. But I mean, you know, we just threw it up and I just said, you know, there's the power. There's an audience, you know.
That was over a year and a half ago, I think.
Right.
And something happened more recently where you're like launching a Facebook page.
Yeah,
you're wanting
for
to
my
figure
wife
out
I,
how to
kind of a ministry
better engage
segment.
Your audience or
right.
big bang for your buck or something.
So we're just doing. I'm doing like some stuff like on the on my phone, my iPhone. There's like 15 seconds. I think Vidalicious. Mm-hmm. There's stuff that's really easy stuff that you can throw up like 15 second chunks. I haven't seen a lot of fruit from that. You know, in terms of views and responses. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The most response comes from family shots. You know, I just threw up a picture of my family, got 72 likes, and I did that at like 11 p.m. or something like that. So, a lot of my videos, my speaking engagements, you know, it's not that substantial. Mm-hmm. So
why did you decide to set up a Facebook page as opposed to just using your personal Facebook?
Well, you know, like every month I send out newsletters.
Okay.
I mean, there's no better way of Facebook if, you know, all my donors and that kind of stuff, if they could just go to the Facebook, then I could, you know, add them as a friend. They can see what I'm doing on a regular basis. I update that page like every week at least.
Okay.
So they can get a really great idea very quickly of what I'm up to.
Yes.
What I'm doing, that kind of stuff.
Cool.
So.
So what's the next thing you're trying to figure out as you're doing this?
Well, I mean, there's
Maybe
a lot of different options.
Our listeners could help.
I'm just thinking, what's the simplest thing we can do that would have the biggest bang for our buck, you know?
Yeah.
What's going to take it the farthest? So, I mean, right now I want to do a whole bunch of YouTube clips on Asian American stuff. Oh. I see like a big gap in that area, the Asian American ministry. Mm-hmm. So do that. and then just link, you know, to the YouTube clips.
Okay.
So.
Good.
And then also, you know, all those clips and training stuff, resources I want. There's a lot of group pages, you know, in all our different ministries across the United States. I can link that stuff, you know, just post that really quickly.
Good.
So just good training things.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So my question to your question is, what kind of bang would you like?
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's two parts. One is a supporter part, which is bang.
The measurement's different for different people. And so the more that's clear, the better we can put together a strategy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's the donor piece is one part. The other part is the greater body of Christ and how, you know, how it can impact. So, you know, I'm in my mid-40s now, so I have more to offer than when I started. Mm-hmm. So I think to be able to capture that and be able to communicate that.
Good.
I mean, it's simple to make a 3-minute video.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It just takes minutes, so.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of new territory for social media and fundraising in some ways.
Yeah. One exciting thing about social media and fundraising is, say, I have 900 friends. I can do a generic, say, invite-only YouTube video of support raising. Just share who I am, my vision, what my needs are, you know, and then be able to send that via Facebook. I mean, Facebook now has, you can upload a Word doc, a PDF, and a video. So there's a lot of potential in terms of raising support. Mm-hmm. You know, I have a lot of friends that are, say, untapped who can join our team financially.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one way that's really huge right now.
Good. Okay.
I think that could make a huge difference, especially in the Asian American context, where you could just do a video where it's a general ask, you know, and it's a pretty easy way. You just crank out a video and I think we'll see. Hopefully people will respond to that.
Yeah. Okay. We'll be watching.
Yeah.
So that was Brent Wong, and in the show notes, I'll add a link to his Facebook page and his Twitter account so you can connect with him. For those of you that may be working on the college campus and student ministries, or just happen to know some people that would be working in that context where the next generation are supposedly much more active on social media, so it's definitely a way you want to be using social media to be connecting with them, whether you're in a church context or a parachurch context. And before I switch over to my conversation with Dave England, Dave is one of the contributors to a compilation book, The Big Book of Social Media. So he is one of the chapters there talking about religion and social media. So I wanted to get his experience in both being a church planter, now working in the auto industry, but always very interested, because he's had a unique faith journey, always very interested in connecting with those who are unchurched or not interested in church, and how social media can be a means of building relationships with normal everyday people who wouldn't don the walls of a typical church. So here's my conversation with Dave England. Dave, thanks for joining me on the Social Media Church.
Thank you, DJ.
So tell us about your years of experience as a pastor and how you were using social media.
For me, I guess social media kind of started with helping to try to engage kids in the youth ministry. They were really into MySpace at the time. So, I mean, it was back in those days when MySpace was still relevant with the teenagers, and that eventually evolved into Facebook, not so much Twitter, but Facebook, MySpace were really the big connecting points for us. So doing announcements, trying to get people connected, engaging them with thought-provoking questions, things like that is really kind of how it got started. Most of my involvement in social media kind of took place outside of those circles, and getting a chance to be connected with people such as yourself, picking, you know, the brains of you guys to kind of figure out where social media was going, really allowed me to utilize it fairly intensely when we started developing our process for what we were going to do to plant a church. Ultimately, that's where my ministry led me was in church planting, which is really how I started getting a little bit of recognition in what I was doing through utilizing social media, because at that point it was still relatively new. People were just starting to jump on board and they weren't quite sure how social media could connect within a ministry perspective. So that's what led me to having the opportunity to speak on what we were doing as a church plant at the time, utilizing social media both within the church and outside of the church. And that ultimately led to me being asked to participate as a contributor to the Big Book of Social Media.
Awesome. Well, let's drill down a bit on your experience there, being a social media pastor and as a church planter. When you say back then, what year was that? And I'm thinking it was just towards the beginning when Twitter was becoming mainstream. And what kind of things did you do besides announcing church events?
Oh, specifically with the church plant, what we were trying to do was engage people both in our launch phase, in particular for updates as well as prayer requests, being able to connect with people in a larger kind of forum to help with where we're at, what we're going through. I got a lot of support from utilizing social media in those specific examples. As we started forming the church and had launched our church plant, then for us, it was about engaging our community and letting people know what we were doing so that ultimately it was a source of us being able to show our transparency, which is one of the issues that we came across with people that we were meeting through the church planting process. Was they had a specific idea of what church was for them. And one of the things was everything kind of happens behind closed doors, and all they know is what they see on Sunday mornings for an hour and a half. So we wanted to make sure that people within our community knew what we were doing, as well as making sure that they knew that there was no strings attached. So we were there with a specific mission to go out and really work within the community, regardless of what direct, you know, influence we could have, how we could draw people into our ministry. Those things weren't necessarily the issue. It was just making sure that people knew who we were, what we were about, and that we were willing to go out and kind of do these things. In broadcasting a lot of that through social media channels, we were able to then get feedback from people that were sort of in the same phase or had gone through that experience and could offer some help and some guidance for us in those areas. So I was able to make connections that really I had no idea were possible at the time on an international level, all due to social media.
Wow. So what did you do to pull back the curtain and show who you are to your community and what really engaged them? What brought the feedback?
One of the things that I think really helped was to be very open in our communication. So whether we were struggling or not, we wanted to make sure that people knew that so that we weren't necessarily putting on a facade for people to show that we were really strong when in areas we were kind of weak, especially struggling as a new church plant. That was critical for us to make sure that it showed a level of being authentic to people that may have been suspicious otherwise. So just, you know, regular language that we were utilizing, not necessarily in a Christian perspective, but just common everyday language, letting people know kind of what we were doing, what we were looking to ultimately do. And again, you know, the message of it has nothing to do with whether you can help us to get to the point where we'd like to get to, but what can we do for you? And that was critical for us.
And you also mentioned you got connected with some people internationally. Tell us about that.
A lot of what we were able to do kind of springboarded off of an event that was done by LifeChurch.tv in Oklahoma. They did a project that was done for an entire month that involved a lot of churches internationally coming together on the basis of prayer. So we kind of strategically coordinated our launch in June, I think it was the year 2007, when they were doing this project. So we were able to get connected with a lot of ministries internationally that were helping to support us, taking things that we had done and utilizing them to help them in what their campaigns were regarding social media as well. So a lot of interaction and exchange for churches on an international level. Australia in particular, you know, we made some connections there. And then I've gotten some feedback that outside of that, people were able to do that, especially kind of, you know, in areas of missions work where people kind of felt alone and they were doing things independently. There were some suspicions about what they were doing because a lot of people saw their work as just being the face of the church. And a lot of people were able to kind of see what we were doing and come across in a similar manner. That helped as well. I had a couple instances of talking to people that had utilized some of the things that we were doing to help that too.
Yeah, and that was one of those video sermon series. Life Church put out a call for pastors everywhere to record a video sermon and talk about their one prayer for the church and for the world. And I actually watched every minute of your sermon delivered as a part of that campaign, and that's how I began to learn about your ministry and gotten to know you offline since that time, particularly through Idea Camp. The social media driven hybrid conference unconferences, and those were great times of fellowship and just spurring each other on in good deeds for kingdom's sake and for the good of the world. So since that time, the church plant had its season and you've closed its doors. What is your lesson learned personally and with regard to social media? What would you have done differently?
Personally, it was, I think, part of the journey that we had to go through. And our, I think, biggest issue was and going through and really researching and spending a lot of time in prayer and a lot of time consulting with other church planters. There's a message that comes through all the time, which is whatever the vision is that God gives you, you know, stick to that, stay true to that. That's the direction that he wants you to go. We did that for the longest time when we were in the early stages of trying to discern whether church planting was for us and if so, what we were going to do with it. Ultimately, what happened was we got connected with a group of people that all had a common interest. We shared a lot culturally. And because of the timing of it, everything happened within the matter of a week to 2 weeks. We gathered together with about seven people, right, in our initial stages. And it just kind of seemed like maybe God was changing our direction a little bit. You and I, DJ, had conversations about where we were at as an Asian American church here within the United States and what the needs were and whether I, who grew up here, and basically, and just, you know, I don't really have a lot of cultural perspectives being an Asian person because I was raised to really assimilate within our community. You know, what do I have to offer in that perspective, being in ministry? So at that time, you know, we ended up connecting with a lot of people that were Asian, and we're seeing maybe, you know, God's changing our direction a little bit, and with all these people here, let's kind of see where it takes us. It ended up about what we were doing on Sunday mornings more so than what we were doing the rest of the week. And how could we make this a place where other Asians can come in and feel comfortable in an Asian American context? You know, what do we need to do to do that more so than what do we need to do to go out and really work through what our mission is and be faithful to that and connecting with people outside of the church, regardless of whether they're going to come see us on a Sunday or not. So in light of that, that's kind of a decision that my wife and I had made that this really wasn't the direction we wanted to go. So that ultimately led to us making the decision to not continue to pursue that ministry. From a social media perspective, it kind of connects with that as well, because the people that we were gathering with at the time really didn't have much of a basis in social media. So the majority of them utilized Facebook, but they were very cautious in what they posted on Facebook. So their persona on Facebook wasn't necessarily who they were. They weren't interested in really sharing much of what we as a church were doing at the time through social media channels, because they didn't feel like we were at a point where they could then invite their friends and they could just come in on a Sunday and want to commit to continue coming in and gathering together with us based on what we were doing as a church at that time. So that's the other area where I think that we came up a little bit short in what we were trying to do. In the book, I don't know if you've had a chance to read the chapter or not, but one of the big things that I really saw us doing was not only being transparent through social media channels, but allowing people to come in and share their perspectives utilizing social media as we gathered in services. So, you know, people were not encouraged to turn off their cell phone and put it away. They had a laptop because they didn't have a cell phone. They were more than welcome to bring that in. Type notes if that's what they wanted to do, or in particular, to kind of share how they were feeling and what they were going through with people that they were connected to through social media, so that we could help kind of share what we were doing on Sundays to people that weren't there in attendance. Didn't get a lot of that. And that's really a direction that I think still kind of lacks a little bit within the church, that there's some sense of formality that people have to go through. And a lot of times, you know, there are people outside of the church currently that aren't interested in coming into such a formal setting. And for me, that's one of the things that I think social media helps to utilize, is they can kind of share what they're doing. Maybe if they're active bloggers, you know, they can have some notes to draw upon for blog posting, or you know, sharing some thoughts on Facebook as it comes to them. It helps kind of ingrain that for them once they leave. So it instead of just being forgotten about 20 minutes after they leave, there's constant reminders and engagement with their social media communities to kind of help keep the conversation going. And I felt that that was one aspect that we lacked as a church plant at the time.
Now, what's an analogy for that? Because the church experience is foreign to a lot of people that don't have that background or don't have that experience in their life. And so people don't know how to behave in a church. And if it's a more liturgical setting, they don't know when to stand versus when to sit down. And then now you introduce social media. It's like, when do you put the cell phone away? When is it okay to open it up? And I think of church as being more of a performance art kind of a setting, where people go to a concert, or they go to a play, or they go to opera, and people don't exactly have their cell phones out interacting with people in the space as well as outside. I mean, what is church supposed to be like if you were to incorporate more social media?
Well, for me, my perspective is a little bit different. I know that you know my story, but I was an atheist until I was 37 years old. And I think I'd been in church services two or three times up until that point. So my perspective was I had no clue what church was supposed to be, because I had very limited experiences of actually being in a church. And each one of the times that I'd gone, the setting was completely different. So for me, I think that I draw upon not only my experiences, but experiences of other people that I've spoken to that have no real, you know, idea of what church is supposed to be like from experience. They know just from conversations with people, or they know from one or two instances of going, or their whole perspective is based upon being raised within the church and what it was like at 17 years old. The things, and most of what it is that they recall, are things that they don't like about it, and that's why they don't go. So from a performance art perspective, I completely get what you're saying. For me, that aspect of church is fairly common and very accessible for people that have an interest in doing that. And I didn't feel like that was an area that really needed more help from me. because I don't really have that background or that perspective. For me, kind of my heart, my burden was to reach people that are open to exploring, you know, God, whether God exists, what role God could play in their lives and in the lives of everyone within the world. And to be able to reach those people and engage them in a conversation where they felt comfortable opening up to do so. So for us, when we had services, a lot of what we did involved interaction and exchange. And if we were a gathering of 5,000 people on a Sunday, that's really not possible. And I get that. And we were okay with that. We accepted that we were probably always going to be relatively small. Part of our vision was actually to gather together a group of people to work together with them and ultimately to be able to launch gatherings in different parts of our community, relevant more to neighborhoods, even on a very, you know, micro, very small scale, to be able to do that. So rather than ultimately have a gathering of 5,000 people, what if we could have, you know, 1,000 gatherings of 50 people or whatever, and be able to kind of grow from that. So our model really would require us to stay on a very small level. That's kind of our basis on that. So as we're having conversations on a Sunday, people have feedback, or they have a question, they're welcome to go ahead and do that regardless of where we were at. So very kind of casual setting. And during those exchanges, people were invited to then throw out questions via Twitter and see what the feedback was. And to be able, I mean, they could even, if they chose to do so, say, hey, you know, I sent out that question on Twitter and this guy has a response and I don't know how to answer that, but I'm curious myself, you know, what would you say? And we could then open that up to discussion.
So what would the analogy be for you? What's the ideal analogy for what the church experience would be like?
I don't know if I can really put it into an analogy, but what I can say is kind of what I'm trying to convey is it should be, for me, in my perspective, more of a two-way conversation rather than a one-way presentation. And to be able to do that is something that not only speaks to me, but I think it speaks to a lot of people that I know that are outside of the church right now, where they feel like they're kind of a spectator rather than someone who's actively engaged, because their timing or their availability doesn't lend to being able to then connect on a Tuesday night with a Bible study and then on Thursday night to go feed homeless people or whatever it is that the church wants to do outside of those times. They want to be able to come in maybe once a week and be involved, which then creates the opportunity for people to maybe work on their time management a little bit, really find a passion to do something and then go out and do it rather than me standing in front of a group of people saying, hey, you know, if we care about other people, this is what we should do. So let's go do it. They come to that conclusion based on more of a conversation rather than on just being told that there's an opportunity that exists.
If, when we talk about life experiences, there's not much in everyday life where 50 people gather and have two-way conversation. And so even that idea, as inviting as it is for those of us that enjoy conversations, and we certainly do here at Social Media Church, that's a foreign experience. And you would have to have an entry point into that as well in some way.
I agree. And for us, or for me specifically, being able to have a safe, open place to have that conversation is something that I incorporate with what my idea of church is.
Very good. So now you've written some about some of those experiences into a chapter of this big book, the big book of social media, along with dozens of other contributors. What was it like being part of that book project?
It was pretty interesting. You mentioned Idea Camp. I can tell you a little bit of the backstory.
We love the backstory here, so please do tell.
Charles Lee, who form the whole idea camp concept that really connected you and I and a lot of us in our community, spoke at an event that was hosted by the author of the book. He's actually the editor that compiled all the stories in Southern California. At the time I was living in Sacramento, one of the struggles that I had in coming into ministry was my biggest fear at the time was public speaking and being able to talk to people in a coherent manner without wanting to just run away. So I really pushed myself in those areas to try to get better at it. Otherwise, it was going to be a fear that I would wrestle with the rest of my life. So the event that Charles spoke at in Southern California actually moved to San Francisco. They had a stop in San Francisco. And I just said, what the heck? I'm going to go throw it out there. Hey, you guys talk about social media and all these different avenues. Have you ever thought that maybe, social media could be utilized within the church or by the church? Does it necessarily have to be a nonprofit organization or a for-profit business entity in order to really be able to lend some perspective to social media? So I contacted the person that was hosting this. His name is Bob Fine. And he responded back and said, hey, that's a perspective I never thought of. I think it'd be interesting. Let's have you come out. So I came out and I spoke, and there were people there at the time that were talking about utilizing social media for humongous campaigns. One of the presenters there talked about organizing a campaign with Mountain Dew and utilizing social media and Tumblr to connect those two. There were other people there that had accounts such as United Airlines and Coca-Cola, and just really heavy hitters in social media. And it was pretty intimidating for me to then have to come up and talk about something within the church, ministry related with social media. But within 5 to 10 minutes of my having a conversation, I was really pretty amazed at how engaged everybody was. And without necessarily sharing their faith perspective, almost everyone that was in attendance had some feedback or had some questions for me. So I gave a presentation that was about 15 minutes. We were allowed 5 to 8 minutes for questions. I ended up answering questions for 20 minutes and then kind of checked the social media channels after I'd had the chance to kind of share what we were doing. And the feedback I got from people was, that if that guy was doing ministry in my community, I would connect with him. I would go on a Sunday just to kind of see what it's about. I really like the fact that they're open to hearing conversations about people that may not necessarily align with where their viewpoints are, and being willing to be able to share those things and engage them in a public forum, things like that. So I walked away from it really having more encouragement to know that it's a message that could connect to people that aren't necessarily looking for information in their stream that has to do with something that's ministry related. If it comes across in the form of not necessarily being ministry in what their idea of ministry would be. So that's what connected Bob and I, which ultimately led to his invitation to actually submit a chapter, and it's the only chapter in the entire book that has anything to do with an organization outside of a for-profit or a non-profit, kind of a charity type of organization.
Well, very good. It's awesome to be a contributor in a big book like that. And since that time, what has happened for you?
Since that time, a lot of people have seen the things that I've done within the circles of social media. And there's been a lot of encouragement to continue to pursue those avenues. For me, it was an experience that I really appreciate having been a part of. I still continue to utilize it to a certain level. But it's not really something that I feel was my sort of passion or purpose. It was a byproduct of what that was. And for me, I think that at some point when ministry becomes something that my focus falls on again, that I feel a calling to really pursue, I absolutely believe that we'll have that opportunity to incorporate social media knowing that we've gone through this experience, we kind of know what leads us off course because we allowed that to happen before. This time to be able to kind of stay more focused with it, utilize it. It continues to grow on a daily level. Things that we're utilizing today, we might not utilize 3 years from now. Still kind of seeing where the trends are. Still trying to be somewhat relevant and engaging are all things that I believe kind of position me to be able to move forward with that if the opportunity does come again. So social media, not just within formal ministry, but from a personal perspective, is something that's very important to me.
Well, let's close out with that. So how has social media become a part of your faith journey now, now that you're not in the front seat of being a church plant, you're actually working with normal people that each have their own life story? How does social media play a part into your life and your relationships with them?
A lot of it has to do with seeing things from the perspective that others saw from us when we were utilizing social media as a church plant, because I now utilize social media to connect with those people and seeing what they're going through and what their journeys are and having an opportunity to kind of share a little bit with them, to help them with reflection. For us within the community, it's more of a personal level of what we're doing because we don't necessarily have a formal ministry and we're not looking for anyone to push us into the area of developing a formal ministry. So most of what I'm utilizing on social media now really doesn't have much to do with that per se, but it's still a tool that I utilize for communicating with others and staying connected. You know, we all have really busy lives, and there's a lot of distance that separates most of us. Social media is a way that we're able to stay connected, you know, see a friendly face, get an encouraging word, spend some time together with others that may have a need for prayer. So there's support through that as well. It's something that I don't have the time to utilize every day, but when I need to use it, it's kind of a go-to tool, you know, such as you and I are having this conversation today. It's another area that is really a part of social media, and it's becoming part of our everyday lives. So at some point, I don't even know if it's going to have the distinction of being social media. It's just going to be something that we just take for granted as a part of what we do. So, you know, being involved in it from its infancy and connecting with people such as yourself that are so in tune with it on a day-to-day basis, I think really helps us to not only utilize it to its fullest, but to be able to stay relevant in the conversation for people that kind of come on board as we continue our journey. So it's kind of a it's something that I appreciate and respect tremendously.
Thank you, Dave, for chatting with me on the Social Media Church podcast. And again, those of you who are loyal or new listeners, connect with us at our website, socialmediachurch.net. And there you'll find all our links to Twitter, Facebook, Google+, and whatever favorite social network that you are on. If we're not there, let us know so we can be there to connect with you. You can also email me at me@socialmediachurch.net. And you can also call in with your comments by voicemail. The number there is 949-354-3216. And we'll incorporate your voice into a future episode because this makes it that much more of a conversation when you join in. So wherever you are on the social media journey and spectrum of engaging with people you know or you don't know through social media, Dave and Brent shows a couple more perspectives of different people using social media in different ways. And so I hope this conversation just helps you to see that there are so many different ways to use social media, whether as a professional or just as a normal person. And there's no right or wrong way to use it, but if you're not using it, that's a lost opportunity, let me put it that way. Well, be sure you subscribe to us if you haven't already through iTunes or your favorite podcatcher. And if you do use iTunes, please do add a review and rate this podcast so other people can find this as a valuable resource and develop your thinking of how to use these tremendous, wonderful tools that are free in terms of money, but a valuable investment in terms of time. Great way to reach people. People you know and people you don't know. My name is DJ Chuang. Let me wrap up this episode of the Social Media Church. This is the place for conversations with church leaders about social media. And until next time, let's stay connected online.